Good afternoon. This is Mark Ward. The program is entitled Pleasing God, and we're so happy to be with you again for another Bible study from God's Word. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we find a basis for our study in calling the program Pleasing God, for we can find throughout Scripture that God wants us to please Him, not to do it our way, but to do it His way, in order that we might be well-pleasing in His sight. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. As we've learned that God's ways are higher than our ways, and His ways are past finding out, and that it is not in man that walketh to direct our own steps, but we need help. We need lots of help. And that perfect help, that complete help, can come from God Almighty as revealed in the Holy Scriptures of His Word. The psalmist said in the 119th Psalm, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Well, this is only true if we will let it, isn't it? We must yield. We must learn to put away a stubborn mind or a stubborn will of seeking our own pleasures, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. These things can damn our soul if they're not in check and if we don't repent and turn to God. Yesterday we spoke concerning an overview of the Bible timeline, and we went from the book of Genesis and hurriedly went up until the time of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and some of the things that were recorded in that. We're speaking of the Bible, and by that we mean the 66 book Bible, that it is a closed data set or a closed canon. It is not like some of our denominational friends think, that God is still revealing new truths today, and we have to have a three-ring binder approach to when God says something new or God changes His law, that we have to open up that binder and we have to insert new material and we have to delete other material for it has become obsolete. That is not what God's Word teaches. God's Word is perfect. It is in the New Covenant described as the perfect law of liberty. Yes, it's a law. There can be no sin without having some kind of law. It's not the law of Moses that was God's covenant with the Jews from around Exodus, the 20th chapter, until Jesus died on the cross and took the law out of the way, Colossians 2, 14 through 17. And with Him being the testator of His will, His last will and testament, if you will, being the testator, while He was alive, He spoke things concerning the new covenant, but He obeyed and submitted to the law of God for the Jews, the law of Moses, in every respect without sin. But He spoke to His chosen disciples, the apostles, and told them many things. And in Matthew 10, gave them the limited commission to go out to the Jews only and to do what they could to spread news of the forthcoming kingdom of God that would happen, Mark 9, 1, while some of them were still alive that were in that generation. It is so sad that some people are looking for Jesus to come again and set up some kind of earthly kingdom like in Jerusalem. Literal Jerusalem. No, when Jesus comes again, every eye will see Him. There'll be a great shout, a great voice, the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. They'll meet him in the air, and those that have been the souls of those departed that are righteous will also not be prevented. They will go ahead and meet the Lord in the air. Bodies will be changed, suited for eternity in heaven or hell, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 explains. And yes, there are only two places of eternal abode, the good place of rest and comfort, and with God and the faithful of all time, or the place that's prepared for the devil and his angels and the most wicked of all mankind, and then those that simply refuse to submit to God's way and do things their way, thinking that God will overlook such. We talked briefly yesterday about the patriarchal dispensation, when God spoke directly to heads of families, and we noted that God has over time spoken in different ways and in prophecy, and yet through His Son, Hebrews 1, in the first few verses of that chapter. With the creation and the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, and both man and woman sinned, so there was enough blame to go around. It wasn't good enough to try to pass the buck as Adam did. And of course, we know that the devil is crafty. He is our enemy. He's the father of lies and deceit. But with the fall of man came the need for forgiveness. And God, in His infinite wisdom, had already made a plan that in the fullness of time, He would bring forth His Son, who, as a member of the Godhood, the Godhead, the Trinity, the divine nature, God in three persons, Jesus agreed to the role and came to earth, making Himself lower than the angels, to live as a man, to be reviled and persecuted, to be tired, to be tempted yet without sin, and be the perfect sacrifice for you and me, to die for the sins of the world, to be resurrected, to make those prophecies come true, so that God's word would continue to be true, and let every man be a liar. And now there's salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ by following those things which be the first principles of the oracles of God. If we were to have to put some type of timeline on the earth and on things that happened in Genesis, we might date it around 4,000 to 6,000 B.C. That's awful early to some people. But then when you come through time and have Methuselah and Enoch, and you have Noah, and you begin to come into a later time with Abraham, and maybe Abraham was around 1992 years before Christ, and Egyptian bondage might be in 1777 years before Christ, and the Mount Sinai giving of the Ten Commandments is recorded in Exodus 20, might be around 1562 years before Christ, and then move on over to the prophets real quick and get to about 750 years before Christ, around Isaiah's time period, and then Jesus being born and living to be about 33 years of age, as best we can tell, and having a 3-year ministry and dying on the cross between 30 and 33 A.D., if you will. If the book of Revelation were written in the later date, around 96, 97 A.D., then by that being the last book of the New Covenant and indeed the Bible, we have the canon as it is represented to us today by the mind and will of God and His providential care, so that there's no mistake that we have an inspired revelation from God to man, inspired by God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved, and they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, that they have no mistakes, that there be no conflicts. And that's how you can have a book that's written by over 40 men or around 40 men. Books like the book of Hebrews are not clearly identified as to who the author is, except that it be authored by God, just like those that we know the human author associated with are also authored by God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for many things, and that's for our benefit. And that's the way God chose to do it. He could have chosen different ways, but this is the way. And we are to now contend earnestly for the faith, which has been, past tense, once for all delivered to the saints. No, we're not looking for a loose leaf. We're not looking for a three-ring binder. God of the universe, God of the Bible, is capable and has delivered on a revelation of a new covenant, the gospel of our Lord and Jesus Christ, the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25-27, and James 2:12, that by which we'll be judged in the final day. That is what God wants us to know about himself and about his eternal plan to send God his Son to die for the sins of the world, that we through him might be saved. Well, with our overview of the timeline, as we mentioned the dates, let's back up to where we stopped yesterday when we were going through the table of contents in the front of a Bible and speaking briefly about what's happening. We mentioned that the gospel accounts are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called synoptic gospels because they follow very much the same path. John is a gospel, it's true, and yet it is not following the same pattern as Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The book of Acts is sometimes called the book of conversions, or the Acts or actions of the apostles and others. Then we begin to find epistles written by inspiration from various writers to either local congregations or to individuals like Timothy and Titus. And there's instruction in some of those books to churches that are also inclusive of instruction to individuals, and vice versa. When Paul writes to Timothy, he gives the instruction of the qualifications for elders in the church and how they're to be the husband of one wife. We need to pay particular attention to God's divine will as revealed with regard to gender roles and not usurp authority over the pattern and instruction of God's Word. And the 27th book of the New Testament, one that is misunderstood by many. And I must confess that it is indeed a different type of book, a writing of apocalyptic literature, where normally we would take things literally unless there was some overwhelming evidence that we should take it figuratively. And in apocalyptic literature, we need to do almost the opposite, is that we see all these figures and these beasts and these bowls of wrath, and we need to look for the meaning from the figurative and work our way toward the literal instruction. And as it says in the last part of the book of Revelation, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," Revelation 22:17. "And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Yes, it is up to you or I. You and I can be saved. All who will come to Christ on his terms as revealed in the Word of God. Thank you so much for listening today. We'll move to another topic tomorrow. Pray for us as we will for you. Check out markjward.com, the teaching website. Go down to the radio and click on it, and you can listen to past episodes of this program. Or go to the questions section and type in the comments or questions. Till tomorrow, we bid you a very pleasant good day.